You're listening to Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. Thanks for joining us online, kpcg.fm. We have a live link over there at thetrumpet.com as well. This is Trumpet Radio Live. I'm Dwight Falk, Grant Turgeon, here with me today as well. And just so the listeners know, Grant, trying to get in better shape, I guess, sprinting to get here on time.
I'm just glad I'm on time because it barely happened today. Got up in here right when the news was playing.
You had enough time to catch your breath, which is always important.
Just barely.
Just barely. But and for those that have not been to the studio, which would be most all of our listeners, we're upstairs. So you got to hike it up those stairs.
Yeah, two at a time. Nice sprint.
Yep, get up there, and you made it, and you made it safely, and we're glad to be with you here on this Wednesday. There's plenty to talk about today, lots going on in the news. Also, we'll preview the Key of David program and the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, and a couple of other interesting stories we'll get to a little later in the program. One about some of the financial backing that goes into some of these situations, like Ferguson and some other situations. We'll talk about that. And if you're a young man, you may have thought to yourself, I'm not as strong as my dad was. And you're right.
Yeah.
There's new reports out about that. We'll take a look at that as well. Apparently men are weaker. But ladies, don't fear. You're as strong as ever.
I guess they call that old muscle, too. If your dad's a lot older than you, then he has that old muscle, and it's a lot stronger.
Yeah, that's they used to call that a farm strength, I think.
Yeah.
Where you'd have an older fellow that appeared to weigh about 80 pounds, but he could lift up the front of a tractor. So it was. I always likened it to beef jerky. That was kind of the same content of the muscles, apparently. So anyway, people are getting weaker for the most part. We'll have more details about that coming up later in the show as well. It's interesting, if you look at some of the major media outlets, the headlines are crying out that the election here in the U.S. is pretty much over. Trump is finished. He continues to flounder. It's all over. And then the polls show that Hillary Clinton leads by 1 percentage point. So it's not quite as bad as some people are making it out to seem as far as the gap between the two. And it's just interesting to look at that because just looking through the headlines, you see all these negative headlines. You think, wow, the wheels are really coming off here. And then I happen to see a poll in the LA Times, and it was like 43 to 42. It seems a little out of proportion there with the headlines.
Yeah, the media would love to just coast to victory. They're terrified of Donald Trump in general, but it's a lot closer than they keep saying.
So we'll see. There's been a little bit of a shakeup, I guess, in his campaign. And, of course, there's plenty of time still. It goes back and forth, lots of debates to have and things to come out. And so we'll see how that goes. But it is interesting. Sometimes you got to look a little further than just the bold headlines, the bolded type to figure out what's going on. One of the things that's happening, this is talked about on the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, and we'll talk about that a little more, but the wildfires going on in California, this is a headline today, more than 82,000 told to leave homes as Southern California wildfire grows. Yesterday we were talking about a fire up in Northern California. There's a big one now in Southern California, 82,000 told to get out of those areas. And here's what one of the officials says from that area.
Right now, the fire is at 15,000 acres, a 0% containment. Unfortunately, we've lost a number of structures and homes. We don't have a count on how many were damaged or destroyed at this particular point. This fire, when it first got started, was extremely dangerous. It was a wind-driven fire that got started in the canyon. And once it established itself and the wind took it over the edge, it exploded in different directions. As you know, we're in the in the fifth year of a very substantial drought, which has dropped the fuel moisture content in this area to extreme levels. So it makes probability of ignition very, very high. And so because it had such a strong wind behind it, it was spotting miles in front of itself. And that's what prompted such far-ranging evacuations and that had to be done so quickly.
So as you heard there, it's a pretty bad deal out there in California. And as he mentioned, 5 years of drought. So that adds up. You've got a lot of dry brush and vegetation. And you get a fire that starts and you get those warm winds and you get a pretty bad situation pretty quickly.
Talk about a dangerous job. Being a firefighter is probably one of the most dangerous ones out there. imagine just being in a field and trying to put out a fire, and then it just turns on you, and then the speed of the wind is how fast the fire comes. It can vastly outrun a human being. So you really need to be on your toes in that kind of a job.
Yeah, they have to know what they're doing for sure. And he also mentioned a little later about how there was some of these fire tornadoes happening. So quite a bit going on there in California. They're just getting hammered. And, of course, then on the other side here, or, you know, down south, Louisiana, that flood is some of the numbers are coming out about that a little more. At least 11 killed so far, 40,000 homes damaged by Louisiana floods. So it's just a terrible situation down there. It's a disaster area. Some of the numbers, just to give you an idea, about 6.9 trillion gallons of rain have fallen between August 8th and the 14th. According to meteorologist Ryan Mao, that's enough to fill more than 10.4 million Olympic-sized swimming pools. That's a lot of water.
No wonder they're having a problem there. And it's tens of thousands of homes. People are evacuating in both places, California and Louisiana. And it's easy to just read that and gloss over it. But tens of thousands of homes, that is a ton.
It's going to be a major hit for the insurance companies, that's for sure. If you've got 40,000 homes damaged, some are probably completely gone. Or, of course, you get water into them. Sometimes you can't salvage it. But a really bad situation down there, and that is so much rain. They had a map showing the localized amounts, and some areas had over 20 inches of rain. You mad? I can't. I'm trying to think of the most rain I've ever been involved in, and it probably would be here in Oklahoma. We have some pretty good downpours sometimes, and I could think of maybe, boy, 6 or 7, maybe, over a day or two. I can't remember anything more than that. And when that kind of rain happens, especially if it happens quickly, I mean, that's a disaster. But you get 20 inches of rain? Wow.
Yeah, and those 6 or 7 inches you were talking about, that comes down fast. It's just pouring down violently, and we just see water running through the streets. It's nothing compared to 20 inches, though, and you can see why maybe a flood would happen because of that.
Yeah, amazing amount of rain there. So a lot going on in Louisiana and California. So that's talked about on the Trump Daily Radio Show today as well. A little more information about that, and we'll preview that here in just a bit. I don't often talk about films, but there's a film that's coming out, or I guess it's been released in some countries. It looks like it'd be pretty interesting. It's a documentary, and the title talking about this documentary is, it was, quote, just another job, Goebbels' secretary, 105 on what she knew. Brunhilde Palmzel says she has a clear conscience, the former secretary to Hitler's propaganda minister, Joseph Goebbels, has broken her silence so others can understand that she says, quote, I didn't do anything other than type in Goebbels' office, she says. So she's 105 years old now.
What do people really expect her to do anyway? I mean, if you're just a helpless secretary and you're put in this job, you don't have too much of a choice. That's a pretty good point she's making.
Yeah, and she says, you know, according to her, that they weren't aware of a lot that was happening, and, you know, maybe so, I'm not sure. But this new documentary is called A German Life, and it's being released in a few foreign countries. It doesn't have a U.S. release that I saw, but I'm sure it'll be available somewhere. It's in German and in English, so it'd be pretty interesting. Pretty much an interview with her. There's some trailers up there, and just interesting to hear her experiences. She sat for an interview with The Guardian, in which she opened up about her job 70 years ago. So, yeah, she's 105, and boy, that's, you know, not a lot of people make it that far. She's just recently lost her sight, and she said she's hoping that she doesn't have to live much longer. But what a life, what an experience. And I think it'd be fascinating to hear some of her takes on what life was like back then.
Yeah, and it just seems like it would introduce the age-old question once again of what would you do in a situation like that? You know, people can associate her with a lot of evil, but what was the alternative? Is she supposed to just say, no, I'm not doing this? What would have happened to her if she refused to do her job?
Right. She says, one of the things she says in this interview is, those people nowadays who say they would have stood up to the Nazis, I believe they are sincere in meaning that, but believe me, most of them wouldn't have.
Right.
She says, after the rise of the Nazi Party, the whole country was as if under a kind of a spell, she said. I could open myself up to the accusations that I wasn't interested in politics, but the truth is, The idealism of youth might easily have led you to having your neck broken. So she said the country was kind of under a spell, and for those that have read much about Hitler and the Nazi regime, lots are written about that, where Hitler had a certain control over people.
Right. When you bring in that spiritual element, it's even more overpowering, and there's really not much you can do to combat that.
And she's 105, as we mentioned, and she said, in the little time that's left to me, and I hope it will be months rather than years, she said, I just cling to the hope, and this is really interesting. She said, I just cling to the hope that the world doesn't turn upside down again as it did then, though there have been some ghastly developments, haven't there? I'm relieved I never had any children that I have to worry about.
Wow.
So she doesn't think, she hopes it doesn't happen again like it happened back then, but she says there have been some ghastly developments, and she doesn't elaborate, at least in this write-up, on what those are, what she perceives. But clearly she doesn't think things have gotten better. That's not at least what I get from this.
Someone like her would be a really important resource, especially for people who don't think history is important anymore. She can really see the big picture over 105 years and understand that things are not getting better. Human beings do not have the best intentions a lot of the time, as we hear from so many leaders today. It's a dangerous world, and yet so many people are just totally naive.
It's really fascinating, too, just some of what she talks about. You know, she talks about how Joseph Goebbels would come in to the office and walk by him. He was always dressed very well. She keeps noting that he had very well taken care of hands. Mm. He must have got a manicure every day, she said. He had, of course, wife and children, and they came in, and they were happy to see their dad. The children were respectful. You know, you would look at it just on the outside and say, well, this is a pretty upstanding family, and this, you know. And I think it's interesting because it's easy to look at somebody, look at a figure, a political figure, or somebody in the limelight and think, oh, look at them. They're just a nice person. They wouldn't do anything bad. And yet look at what they did.
Yeah, being in that position for her, she could have just seen that he was a family man. And whenever you see that side of someone, it actually could become easier to justify the evil they commit. I don't know if she mentions that, but it could have been easy to just say, well, you know, he's a family man. Maybe there is a reason for these atrocities he's committing.
She claims that they didn't know anything about the Holocaust until 5 years after the war, because they were in Russian confinement for 5 years. And once they got released, she said that was the first she knew of it. So maybe so. Don't know. But it's easy to think that everybody was in the mix, you know. And, yeah. And even though they worked there, they probably didn't know half of what was going on. That's probably true of, you know, most everybody. You work someplace and you don't know all the inner workings of everything, depending on what your job is, you know. So
yeah, it seems like as a secretary, it just kind of makes me wonder what she was actually having to type up if she didn't know about even the entire Holocaust.
Well, yeah, she had to type up. She did type up propaganda from what she said, like they would have her exaggerate numbers because they were trying to make the Russians look particularly bad. So they were exaggerating like the atrocities that the Russians were doing to tell the people. So she was aware of that from what she says. She was given certain things and told, don't look at this. You put this in the safe. And she said she did. She felt a certain honor in being trusted. Mm-hmm. And she was proud of the fact that they trusted her and that she would, you know, do what they said and not look at the different things she was putting in the safe. So, you know, I it'll be interesting. I'm just really fascinated. I really do want to watch this and see what she has to say. Again, it's called A German Life, and that should be available probably sometime, I would imagine, online. Mm-hmm. It doesn't show a U.S. release date, but it is released, being released in Israel, a few other nations overseas, so... I just think it'd be fascinating to get her take on history and her experience. So just really, really pretty interesting. And again, we don't do a lot of film reviews. I haven't seen it, so I can't really review it. But
maybe we could
preview.
Review it in the future.
We should.
After we review Burger King's new Whopperito.
We'll get ourselves a Whopperito and we'll sit down and watch this, see what we think. So
combine the reviews.
the teasers for it are pretty much just her with a black background and her just telling her the story. There might be more to the film than just that, but that alone is just fascinating. Mm-hmm. Of course, she's speaking, I think, in German, and they have the subtitles. But really interesting to get her take. You know, somebody that was right there in the mix on all that, and still alive. Crazy. She retired in at like, I think she was 61 or something in 1970. That's wild.
Yeah, it's amazing. We haven't even heard more about her to this point. Someone who was right there at the heart of probably the most evil regime ever.
Yeah, I'm not sure why she decided to come out now. Maybe it was to, get her story out there, especially now that she knows she doesn't have long to live, probably because of her age. Not sure, but really should be pretty interesting. It's called The German Life. You can check that out. Here's a headline from the Washington Examiner. This sounds like a bad idea to me. I'm not super tech savvy, but America to hand off internet in under 2 months. That doesn't sound like a good idea. The Department of Commerce is set to hand off the final vestiges of American control over the internet to international authorities in less than 2 months, officials have confirmed. The department will finalize the transition effective October 1st, according to Assistant Secretary Lawrence Strickling, barring some sort of a change between now and then. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, the move means the Internet Assigned Numbers Authority, that's the name of the organization, which is responsible for interpreting numerical addresses on the web to a readable language, will move from U.S. control to the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, a multi-taskholder body based in Los Angeles that includes countries such as China and Russia. So, again, that doesn't seem like a great idea.
Yeah, watch out for a lot of anti-U.S. propaganda to just start popping up everywhere online.
very well could be. Critics of the move, most prominently Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz, have pointed out the agency could be used by totalitarian governments to shut down the web around the globe, either in whole or in part. Very, very possible.
Yeah, it seems like if you have control over the internet, you have control over a lot of minds, or at least you have control over them having free access. And if you give control of that to places like Russia and China, they're a lot more restrictive, and they could introduce such restrictive measures to the internet as well.
And it does happen, you know, they're in certain areas of the world, of course. So be interesting to see what happens there. It's one of those things where unless you're actually involved in it, I suppose it's kind of like the Wizard of Oz, you know, what's happening behind the curtain that makes this internet work. But something does, and obviously they do. It's numbers, and they have to be translated into a readable format for us. But you think about all the things we do on the internet, banking, a lot of our information is up there. And if that got into the wrong hands, which it sometimes does, that'd be major problems.
Yeah, the people who control the internet it's always been kind of a murky subject for me. I didn't really know how that worked. It's pretty cool to hear that America was in charge, but to just give something that powerful up, there are a lot of problems that could arise. People don't seem to be thinking about that, I guess.
Yeah. Why give it away?
Doesn't make sense.
Keep it. It's important.
Are they even getting paid to give it away?
I don't know all the details. Yeah. I would imagine it's not.
Maybe we're just trying to put ourselves on a level playing field once again.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense to me, but it'll be interesting to watch that. Again, that's coming up October 1st, apparently, when they're going to hand that over. So if you go online October 2nd, you can't get anything. You'll know what happened. Probably won't be that abrupt or that sudden, but who knows. This is an interesting story. You ever have any goldfish when you were a kid?
I had a betta fish, you know, those types of fish that actually eat each other if they're right in the same tank together.
Right. Goldfish or fish like betta fish, very common. People a lot of times have them. A lot of times kids have them. And they're tiny. Little goldfish floats in the bowl. They can be pretty destructive. Why letting goldfish go wild is a bad idea. They become giant pests. So people occasionally just dump their goldfish out. They don't want them anymore, and they don't want to kill them or anything. They just pitch them in the water somewhere. But they say researchers from the Center of Fish and Fisheries at Murdoch University have been trying to control goldfish for 12 years in the Vasse River, located in the southwest of Western Australia. So these goldfish, they're an invasive species. They cause havoc for native fish and its surrounding ecosystem. And so they wanted to do a report and kind of show what these goldfish were doing. There's some startling facts about goldfish that are surprising to me because I think of them as the little goldfish that float in the bowl. Most startling is the fact that goldfish in the wild can grow to massive sizes, and they have an unprecedented ability to travel long distances. Apparently, they'll eat anything within sight that they can eat. One goldfish found by researchers weighed 4.1 pounds. There's a picture of it. The thing was huge compared to what you expect. Can you imagine that? It's a huge goldfish? While another was tracked traveling 142 miles in a year. So that you've got a monster in your house. You thought he was just a little guy, but if you leave the fridge open, it's over.
I've heard before that animals or pets can actually be, their size can be limited by the cage they're in. So if you have a 4-pound goldfish out there, that kind of does make sense. It's, you know, usually you have it in a tiny bowl and it can't possibly get that big.
Right. You feed it a little bit of that stuff every day like Mr. Rogers used to do. They don't get that big.
They're starving in there. They're like, I would eat everything inside if I could.
I'm so hungry. I just can't communicate it to my masters.
And then in 10 seconds, it forgot what it was thinking about.
Right. Yeah, they are huge. They can be huge, 4 pounds. I mean, that doesn't sound like a lot necessarily, but they showed the picture. I mean, it was like two hands or three hands. That's how big that thing was. The guy was holding it. It was a good-sized fish.
Normally the size of like half a finger, so.
Amazing. Yeah. So anyway, don't dump your goldfish out. Because apparently they can cause a lot of problems. And again, they did a report on this, but I thought those were the two most interesting facts, that they got so big and that they traveled so far. Just pretty amazing that can happen. And there's stories, too, about, I mean, I know Florida's had problems, people throwing out snakes, and all of a sudden you got boa constrictors and stuff out there that they're growing to huge sizes and killing alligators. It's amazing. You know, I saw a video on that, and I don't know. I just never thought of a snake being able to take down an alligator, but some of them can. That's pretty terrifying because I know I can't beat an alligator. Yeah. And if it can beat the alligator, it can beat me.
Oh, big time. Yeah, especially those boa constrictors. They just wrap around you, and it's kind of like a war of attrition. They just wait till you can't breathe anymore. They just basically choke you, and as long as it takes, they're willing to stay there.
Yeah, they basically, from what I understand of it, you know, they just basically wait for whatever they've wrapped up to exhale, and then they just tighten. And so eventually you can't inhale anymore.
That's terrible.
So, you know, it would be a bad deal to be in, especially as a human.
You'd possibly be like, the worst way to die.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You can't say to them, like, could we talk about this? Could we work out some sort of an agreement here? Could we reason? He just looks at you with those dead eyes. Got to feed him a goldfish.
Yeah.
Bring out your monster goldfish. So that's interesting. Interesting things. There's another thing that's kind of interesting, too. I didn't grab the headline, but I saw it today. Like, there's this, I think it's kind of like a video feed of certain areas underwater that they watch. And they found this little, I think it was it was a little tiny fish. And there's a video all over the internet of it. You can find it. And it's the cutest thing you ever saw. It looks like a Disney fish, like an animated. It's kind of round and blue, and it's got big eyes. It looks like a toy.
It just kind of makes sense where they get these from for the movies then. Maybe the movies are more realistic than we thought.
I saw the headline. They said, you know, it's so cute. And I thought, well, you know, whatever. And then I looked at it and I was like, oh, that is cute.
They weren't exaggerating
that
at all.
That was a cute, cute little fish, whatever that thing was. So if you're today's kind of the day of the fish, I guess. So if you're interested in the fish, you can check that out. Pretty cool. It's a neat looking little guy. I don't know what it does. you know, I was kind of wondering, like, if those are the most deadly ones. You know, they lure you in with their cuteness and then explode or something.
Yeah, the monster goldfish would be making a big mistake to attack that one.
Don't eat that one. It's too cute. So some of the headlines going on today. The Key of David program is coming up here in a bit on KPCG. One of the programs today is Germany's Secret Strategy to Destroy Iran. There's a lot going on in Germany, of course, and Iran is and the Middle East, and that immigration problem is really pushing against them. Bible talks a lot about that and forecasts what's going to happen there, and this program talks about that as well. So make sure you listen for this program, Germany's Secret Strategy to Destroy Iran. Iran is getting bolder, and the U.S. certainly isn't stepping up trying to stop them, so somebody's going to have to do something.
Yeah, that's right, and it just seems like Germany can see that at the heart of all these immigration problems they're having is Iran. They're sort of behind a lot of the radical Islamism that we see, and they're even involved in places like Syria and causing the problems that make the refugees flee.
Right. So really great Key of David program. Make sure you listen for that. The Trumpet Daily Radio Show today with your host Stephen Fleury comes to you from Edstone, England. Today, he mentions, is the first day of classes for Herbert W. Armstrong College, which we're at that campus broadcasting here on KPCG, and there's another campus over there in Edstone, England, so a lot of activity with classes. And then he gets into quite a bit into what we talked about briefly at the top, the fires in California and the floods in Louisiana, gets into some more details about that, and brings in some Bible passages, Amos 4 in particular, talking about a time like that when there would be, you know, no rain in one place, there'd be drought in another place. We're seeing those problems happen. And, you know, especially when you start looking at some of the numbers, like we were talking about, how much rain they've gotten in that area, way too much. And then California doesn't have enough. And so it is something to stop and think about.
Yeah, it would be nice if maybe these places could even out a little bit. Some of the water from Louisiana could go over to California, but there is a very specific reason why that's not happening. There is a purpose for all the natural disasters.
So pretty interesting. The also, he talks a bit at the end about education, and he brings out the point that one of the colleges, I forget which one exactly, I'll leave it to the listener to listen to that one, but one of the major universities, they you can get an English degree, they're a bachelor's degree, without ever having to read Shakespeare. So pretty interesting. Things are changing as far as education, and it just seems strange that you could go up to somebody who would be an English teacher or something and say, you know, what do you think about Shakespeare? I've never read it.
That's a tragedy, much like Shakespeare's writings.
He should write a play about it. No one ever read his plays. but it does highlight just the educational system and some of the problems with it. So that's how the Trumpet Daily Radio Show today. Replay coming up here in a little bit on KPCG. It's live, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. And if you can't catch it live or the replays, a lot of people like to download it from kpcg.fm or thetrumpet.com. A few thousand people usually do that daily. Make sure you join in. It's a great program to listen to.